following audio is a podcast from Leader Breakthrough, an organization committed to coaching and resourcing the personal development of risk-taking kingdom leaders. For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Leader Breakthrough podcast. My name is Nick Inthout.
And I'm Terry Walling. It's good to have everybody here for another chance to dialogue and share a little bit around some key things that are happening in terms of how God is shaping each one of our lives through this unusual time that we're living through.
Yeah, this podcast, we want to focus specifically on questions around personal development, leadership development, and what changes might be coming down the pike here in 2022, ways that God might be at work, inviting us as leaders and Christ followers to join him in a new and a fresh way. So I'm excited about the conversation today. I'm always pumped up when I get to be in conversation with Terry Walling. And so over the next 30 minutes, we're hoping that this is an encouragement to you wherever you are in the Leader Breakthrough community.
So Absolutely. So we're going to actually talk a little bit today about, I think, one of the key postures that is changing and has changed. But I don't think all of us have actually fully embraced it or recognized it. And I'm just going to own it. You know, I'm sitting here at the wonderful ripe age of 69. And I think a lot of the people that I've worked with down through the years have made some great, significant changes in their methodologies and how they approach ministry. But there's also quite a few of us that haven't. And I think we've actually, in the age of information, where everyone can have access to the information, I think there's a change that we need to embrace, because we've been a telling and even teaching kind of model. When we talk about ministry, we talk about the church, we talk about how things happen. You know, it's been actually listen to the expert, they'll tell us, we'll listen. But I just don't see that's what the Spirit's at work doing as much anymore. Now, I'm not saying no preaching. I'm not saying we shouldn't have any classes or anything like that that we're used to having. But what I am saying, the primary mode or posture that we need to take, I think actually needs to move from this posture of telling people answers into having conversation about the issues that we're facing. I think more people need and want and actually are checking out because they haven't been invited into the conversation. And all of a sudden we're jeopardizing a whole ability to better understand what Jesus is doing with how the Spirit is trying to lead us and guide us into truth, because we're seeing this really as a monologue. And I'm even risking it to say all the way up to Sunday morning, as opposed to a dialogue. And when there's dialogue, there's ownership and investment of other people into actually what it is we're learning and what it is ultimately that we need to discover in the days ahead. But no, I know, Nick, this is big on your heart.
Yeah.
And you've seen all this. So talk a little bit about what you've been seeing related to, I mean, how would you peg it in terms of this ability to have conversation now, as opposed to just kind of, we keep listening to someone else talking? What's it bring up inside of you?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that I have sensed for a while is that we want to participate. People want to participate. I think I read that early, even in the internet, when the internet first came out and blogs first came out. Blogging kind of 2.0, what happened is it became interactive. And, you know, churches, for the most part, are stuck in kind of 1.0, where we're still answer people. We're giving people things that you're giving them answers to questions that they might not even be asking right now. So we're leading with our answer before really listening to where people are at. So I think this idea of what you're describing, a more conversational, more dialogical spiritual formation is something that really I've seen probably most in coaching. This is the nature of coaching, is question asking. You know, over half of Jesus' ministry is asking people questions and then engaging with them in a form of dialogue, is discerning. He's almost like discerning, what is it you really need right now? What is it you most need from God? What is it you most need from this rich, rich spiritual tradition? But which area do you most need help? And I think, you know, one of the things that I've been wondering as well is what changes need to happen in me. I'm a talker. I like to be the answer person, but what changes need to happen in me in order to better lead in this culture and in this environment? You know, what sort of things is God inviting me to set down for a season in order to better understand where he's at work and how I can best serve those people that he's working in.
You know, it reminds me a little bit. I went to seminary. I mean, seminary. And it was kind of like, if you preach it, they will come. And so, you know, a lot of that emphasis was preparing that Sunday sermon, till all of a sudden I began to realize, as a talker, as a teacher or whatever, that, yeah, there are times when truth needs to be declared.
Absolutely.
And I just need to sit back and listen.
Absolutely.
But you know what? There need to be more times when I participate and when I am allowed to engage into that conversation. And the thing that tipped it for me was you only retain about 12 to 18% of any talk that's given to you that you actually just sit and listen. But when you participate in that conversation, you know, retention level can jump as high as 60, even 70%.
Wow. Wow.
So the question is, are we trying to inform or transform? Are we trying to actually just continue to tell people answers or give them a chance to discover those answers?
Wow.
And you know this from our coach training. One of the things that we say is, whatever somebody discovers they own,
right,
whatever they're told, they oftentimes resist.
Yes.
But if I give you a chance to actually participate in the conversation in a real way, not this fake conversation stuff, but in a real dialogical way, and we hit on something, then all of a sudden we've discovered it. And when somebody discovers something, they embrace it. They can't just quickly dismiss it. They oftentimes even have to take responsibility for the truth that they've been able to mine out. But I see this happening, and I see actually people walking away because they can't get into the conversation, and therefore they're not part of a collaboration. They're part of just, you know, serving an organization's agenda. And to me, people are saying, no, thanks.
Yeah. Well,
I'm out. No, thanks. You know, if I can't get in and even help collaborate.
Right.
In some and do it in a sense of community. And I know I'm a boomer, but those were all three C's. If I can't do that, then all of a sudden, you know what? No, thanks. I've got other demands in my life. I don't know if you see that, but man, I sure see it. And I see it as I watch even younger relate to older, and the younger have been able to, you know, they give the intellectual nod, are they going to do anything about it? It goes the other way. No, they're not going to participate at all in it. They're just sitting there listening to someone else talk. I don't know.
Yeah.
Making sense? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it makes me think about a few things. One, direction, you know, is important, especially early on in our life. We need content. Pedagogy is
huge.
Filling our hearts, our minds with knowledge, with content. We need that content. And then, you know, and information. We actually need good information early in order to grow.
Yep.
And as we develop and as we grow, then we need stronger areas for discernment. And I think what we've done traditionally with our churches is just stay in the place of content delivery, of direction. We're going to tell you. and those more, you know, traditional offices and practices of discernment, spiritual direction, coaching, you know, therapy, pastoral care, where that was fostered and nurtured, a triad or a quad or a accountability partner or just somewhere, even just friends. I think maybe once upon a time, friends were able to engage in these sort of deeper, more intellectual conversations together where they were discerning what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
What is God doing? And there was wisdom. I said to somebody recently, you know, where is the wisdom in our culture? There's so much information.
Yep.
There's so much information, but where are those wise people who've gone before us?
Yep.
Who can turn and invite us into the dialogue just to discern where are you at?
Yeah.
Where are you at in your development? So that's one of the things it brings up for me is just this really this need in our culture for discernment. You know, you've said it before that our discipleship processes need to be personalized. That's part of why you developed Track was to say, you know, this needs our methodology needs to be personal. People need, if they're going to own it, they've got to believe that it's for them.
Right. And they got to believe it's part of their discipleship as opposed to just part of making sure they memorize the right things. No, this is part of God shaping me. This is part of who I really am. This is individualized. As we enter in conversations too, by the way, different people can get different things out of the conversation.
Exactly.
I.e., they can get what they need out of that conversation, as opposed to lock it in on one person's interpretation and then their set of things on how we should apply them.
Right.
So that whole sense of discipleship now needs to be personalized. And yet we've got an economy of scale. How do you do that when you can't actually create a program for each person? How you do that is start discipling in the context of conversation.
Yes.
Start discipling and training in the context of a collaboration as opposed to kind of like a preset agenda.
Mm, yeah.
And then it'll allow people to actually now experience a discipleship that's based on how they're behaving or participating as opposed to just what they're hearing.
Yeah. Yep.
And that I think is not the answer, but that's one key that starts unlocking the door to having apprentices of Jesus that are shaped not simply by sitting and attending a class, they're shaped by actually participating and behaving their way into a truth and actually accepting it and embracing it as part of their life, not just something, quote unquote, they believe.
Yes.
And that kind of thing starts to open up. You know, it's kind of interesting that I actually, this has been a little while, you know, not super long, 5 years ago, something like that. I remember doing a talk and quoting somebody up on the stage and came down, you know, like that whole deal here where everybody listening and stuff like that. Came down and as I was walking out, a guy was looking at his phone. And as I was walking out, he didn't actually stop me. He just said, you know, if you've done your homework, that guy you quoted has a much better quote. And he reads it to me off the phone. So one, obviously, I totally captivated this guy. But two, look at that. In his hands.
He's got the information.
He's got the information.
Yes.
What he doesn't have is a safe place to process that information.
Yeah.
By the way, since I've been a pastor, I can say this. Sometimes churches are not very safe.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
I love the church. Yes, it is God's vehicle, but people approach conversations in the church with predetermined answers. And by doing that, I'm not saying they shouldn't hold things to be true. What happens sometimes is they can't be challenged. Mm. And if they become challenged, then all of a sudden you're starting to shake their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start shaking their identity or who they are or what they put their trust in, now all of a sudden what you've done is actually create a tremor inside of them that is actually going to necessitate some kind of confrontation. Hmm. And that in and of itself, I think, is one of the key reasons why all of a sudden you can have a conversation outside the church, but when you try to have a conversation inside the church, everybody's locked into their theology, their point of view, or they feel like it's their assignment to defend Jesus or the institution. And therefore, people who are trying to inquire and people who are trying to grow deeper get shut down.
Yeah.
And that's what causes it to not feel safe.
Yeah.
And I know that it happens out in the world. I'm not picking just on the church, but I think all of a sudden what we've got inside the church is we have opinions. We don't have empathy. People are, how do you feel on this? Do you believe you should mask or not? Do you believe this? No. As opposed to, let me hear about what's going on in the context of we're facing right now.
Yeah.
Because I never did really take the time to realize your granddaughter died of this. And that you think we should do this not because you totally agree with everything or the signs, just to help the vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
So I think one of the greatest gifts we can give each other today is listening.
Yes.
And the ability to listen. You can't have good conversation if you're not listening.
Tell me, I've heard you before and I've done some training with you, but real fast for people, take us through what is good listening? What's, you know, you call this level three listening. What is level three listening?
Let me go level one first. Level one is you are listening to yourself talk. And you keep preparing your answer. That's level one interest. So you hear words, but you're more preoccupied with you and what you're sharing. That's level one.
You're forming your rebuttal while they're talking.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yep. Level two is, okay, now you realize I shouldn't do that. So now you realize, okay, I got to hear what they're saying, but I'm not hearing what they're saying to actually embrace how they might feel about that. I'm hearing what they say in level two so that I won't look dumb and have a response ready as actually they stop talking. So that level two is now I'm hearing the words and now I'm actually feeling like, okay, the words are going in me, but now it's more, I got to solve and fix this person. I got to act. They're saying something and it may or may not be right theologically, and I got to set them straight.
So I'm more empathetic in level two. I'm listening. I'm hearing it. And now here comes my answer.
Yeah. So if you could imagine two people in chairs sitting next in front of each other, face to face, level one is they're sitting there, but they got cross leg, cross arms. There's nothing going on.
Do you think most of our culture we're engaged in level one listening right now?
I think it's migrated back. And so
we're not hearing each other.
We're not hearing each other. Words are being passed. That's it.
Yeah.
Level two is we're starting to hear each other. So imagine the two people sitting and listening to each other, facing each other, now actually lean in and remove the crossed legs and arms and stuff like that.
They're still looking at each other, though. They're still facing each other.
Still facing each other, but now they're actually trying to understand the words. Only the problem is they're thinking about their way that they got to respond and even actually provide answers. That's level two. But then there's level three. And what I call level three listening is park bench listening. What's the difference? Now we're not facing each other. We're actually sitting on a park bench. And I'm asking this person to share, and I'm looking at the world with them. I'm looking at their world with them.
So good.
And actually involving myself even in what they could be feeling as I see the same things they see. Now I'm beginning to hear. And that kind of listening is actually, I think, possible. But we've gone in these last couple years here up from level two to level one. In reality, what we got to do is say, no, we got to get even past level two and make a solid commitment to each other to truly listen, to hear, not actually to agree, but to hear, and not actually to form our juxtaposed opinion, but to understand. And I think that is part of what it helps to not only have a collaborative moment in time, but I think that's what gives us the possibility now to say, okay, where are the answers for us, given the fact we've all finally heard? And it's one of the great things I've appreciated even about the Quaker movement, the Friends movement, where they have these meetings where people can share and nobody can respond. You just got to hear. Those times are in some sense long gone from culture, and they have disappeared sometimes from this thing we call the church.
Yeah. But there's a flattening, right? There's a flattening of relationship as we lean in. But even beyond leaning in, it's coming on side and saying, let me look at your world with you.
Let
me come alongside you and look at it with you. It's interesting, as you were describing that, even I was thinking about, you know, the spiritual discipline of discernment.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost asking God, right, that prayer of, God, lend me your eyes, help me see what you see. It's him coming alongside of us, but it's also us coming alongside of him.
Absolutely.
And let me see what you see. Let me see the world as you see it. You know, give me your heart for people. Give me your eyes and your ears. I want to know as you know, and be known as you are, you know, as like, you know me. And, you know, the word that I was thinking about there is the word intimacy. And how, you know, this 2022, part of what I hear in people and sense in leaders is a longing for greater and deeper intimacy, and places and spaces where they can be their true self, be accepted, you know, name their uncertainty, look out at the horizon and say, I don't know what's happening here. I don't recognize this. I've never been here before. I'm not sure what direction to go. And, you know, I think when you're in a community and you're able to do that and not be told answers, but rather have people sit in those questions with you. It's transformational. Because you're suddenly isolation, which I think is maybe one of, you know, Satan's greatest tools, is to isolate us from community. Tell us that we're broken. Tell us that, you know, we're beyond repair and we're so lost that, you know, the things we're thinking about, the experiences that we're having are, you know, we're done. We're done, man.
Absolutely.
And you know, what happens when someone comes alongside of us and listens at that level three, you know, place where they're not answering our questions, but they're joining us in that space in those questions, is we're transformed by the love of God. This love that is even beyond, you know, beyond answering our problem.
Right. And, you know, the thing is that we're transformed by the love of God that has been incarnated by somebody sitting next to us and accepting, versus somebody who's trying to just always correct us.
Yeah.
And it's important to say there is truth. There are answers. There are things that we've got to go after. But, you know, you got to build a bridge of trust before you can, and have a dialogue back and forth of conversation before you can really get to the moment of change in any of our lives. Yeah. And, you know, this reminds me, let me circle this back around, because, you know, one of the key things that we work on, one of the key things we go after at Leader Breakthrough, is better understanding this topic of leader development.
Yes.
Or lifelong development, or lifelong formation. God never stops working, shaping our life. The question is not whether he's shaping our life, is what is he at work doing as he shapes our life? And do we have the courage to join him in that life. I mean, that's kind of our, one of our standard lines, but we're really saying that God shapes us over our lifetime, and God creates moments and uses people, events, and circumstances as tools to be the sculptor of our lives and shape and form us into the image of his son. Now, all of that to say this, that there's three key tenets to lifelong development: time analysis, seeing your life from a big picture, understanding as you look at your life what's really occurring and what God may be at work doing, and response, making choices to align with that. If you think about the middle one, we have so few places, like we said earlier on, to process what's going on.
Yes.
So few places where we can talk out what's going on. I believe every one of us talk to ourselves. Now, you know, you see people in cars or whatever, they're just going along. And so I give them the benefit of now, they must be on their phone, or they must be singing this some song. Sometimes they're just talking to themselves. Why? Yeah. There's a conversation going on all the time within us related to the things that we're experiencing. The problem is we don't have any place to actually get that conversation out of us so that actually we can look at that conversation and even begin to think about what we think about that issue or that conversation.
Ooh, that's really good. And it makes me think of something else I've heard you say as well, that, you know, a transition space, which is notorious for not knowing, can last, you know, not just 3 months, but up to 3 years.
Absolutely.
And so the processing, you know, I think a lot of people, we get frustrated because we don't have the patience to endure 3 years of processing and not knowing. And, you know, it can be really frustrating. And we're in a, you know, quick culture, man. I want the answer now. I want to Google it and find it right here. And it's almost like, no, the deepening work of God, the formative work of God, just because we have more information on the internet, because we have more books and we have even better content than ever before, doesn't mean that formation is happening any quicker.
Bingo. Because we're educated way beyond our level of obedience. And so we haven't actually internalized the truth we already know, and we just keep stacking truth on top of people.
Wow.
So, you know, we're kind of winding down. Nick, I'm going to come at you, and what's your final thought, especially given the fact that obviously you're at a different stage in your development. You work with a lot of leaders who want into the conversation, but it's blocked. And you are actually involved yourself into trying to get into the conversation sometimes, because now you do have something to say into that. I'm going to ask you kind of what's the key of that, but let me just kind of summarize what we're really calling for. And what we've been kind of wandering all around is a culture of conversation. How do we develop a culture of conversation? How do we collaborate instead of trying to control? What is it that actually we can do to promote that? Mm. We've kind of hit on two things. Listening is key. Asking questions is key. And even synthesizing responses or discerning what's being said before we try to react to it are other keys. So those are some things we touched on, but what kind of final thoughts do you have related to this whole idea of a culture of conversation, especially as we kind of continue to see the boomers leave the stage and the Xers will start to move onto the stage? What can you say to us?
Well, one of my first things that I, just as you were describing that, I was thinking, well, I don't know that the millennials want to get on the stage. I think they want to maybe even be sort of at the front of the crowd, but just in the crowd amongst the people, the priesthood of you know, all
believers. Boom. That's good.
And I think the thing that for me drives the sense of discovery, that curiosity that I've heard you talk about, you know, coaching with curiosity. Yep. It starts from this place of humility to say, you know, I might not see everything. And I might not even see this thing right now,
right,
clearly that well. And so I need some other eyes. I need some other ears. I need some other parts of Christ's body.
Nice.
To speak, to share, to minister, to, I am not the entire body in one person, and I have a real need to learn from others. So I think that humility for me is maybe my final bottom line, is it really, leadership, personal development requires this level of humility. God opposes the proud. We do not want to be in opposition to God and his presence. He opposes the proud, but he'll give himself to the humble. And in community, if we can humble ourselves together, even in this 2022 time with all the uncertainty, I think if we can humble ourselves and say, God, where are you leading us? And listen to one another. Where do you sense God is leading? So I think for me, you know, that virtue of humility, humbling ourselves again before God and one another, humbling ourselves before one another is a key for us moving forward.
Absolutely.
What about you, Terry? What's sort of like a bottom line takeaway for you in this conversation?
Well, I appreciate what you just said, because I really, you know, this is the continuing thing I'm learning, that, you know, you said something as you jumped in there and said, I don't know if the millennials want to get on the stage. I think what they really want to do is they'll get into the conversation.
Yeah.
And be welcomed into the conversation. And to be valued as part of the conversation. So I think, you know, my age and even a little older, we need to sponsor them into the conversation. We need to welcome. We need to invite them, invite those to speak into our lives. And I think, you know, we've done enough talking. Now it's time to do a lot of listening.
Wow.
And actually allow the Spirit of God to author the new and say the things even we don't want to hear en route to him actually doing a work we've never seen.
Yeah.
And I, that's the challenge within me, to actually allow God to continue to change me and make me not a teller, but Lord, make me a listener.
Wow, Terry, that is powerful. This conversation is meaningful for me. I know in my life, the single greatest resource that I received for listening was the coaching skills and, you know, coaching the person training that I did with you. So that right. coaching training, I cannot recommend it enough to any leader out there. It made me a better husband. It made me a better friend. It made me a better father, the coaching skills training, and it made me a better minister, frankly, just to learn how to listen. I can't recommend it enough for people out there. I know you got some dates coming up in the spring of 2022 that people can access.
They can get them all on the website. Yeah,
I would encourage that. www.leaderbreakthrough.com. Go jump in a coaching skills training and commit to becoming a better listener. I think that is one of the best things we could do right now as leaders. So thank you so much for joining Terry and I in this conversation today. At Leader Breakthrough, we want to resource you for lifelong development. And we hope this conversation encouraged you and gave you hope where you're at. I'm Nick Inhout.
I'm Terry Walling. Thanks for being with us.
For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.